Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Tribble tonight. Welcome back. We'll get back into the Michael Penix conversation. But right now, we've got four college football games to talk about. Start of the college football playoff Friday night, of course. But I'm going to start off with this one, though. Did you realize, now according to SeatGeek, 42% of their ticket sales are coming from the state of Tennessee. I'm talking about for the Tennessee-Ohio State game. 8 o'clock on Saturday, the Buckeyes a 7.5-point favorite. 17 degrees, slight chance of snow, a little windy. And everybody's thinking, well, those teams from the south, they can't handle that. Do you realize that Knoxville's in the mountains? You realize it's pretty cold in Knoxville. This is not a factor with Tennessee, not by any stretch of the imagination. Now, this is going to come down to strength against strength, if you ask me, though. Now, Ohio State has beaten two playoff teams, of course, Indiana and Penn State, lost at Oregon by a single point. But I'm thinking there might be more pressure on Ohio State after losing to Michigan. That program and its fan base, they're not feeling very good about themselves right now, certainly. But weather's not going to be a factor. It's not like the Tennessee Volunteers or the Jamaican bobsled team going to Norway to compete. It's not going to be a factor. There might be about 35 to maybe 40,000 Tennessee Volunteer fans in that building. It's not going to be like when University of Georgia overtook Notre Dame Stadium a few years ago, where it was about 80% Georgia fans. It's not going to be that, but it's going to be a sizable contingent. Because that's a fan base and a program that's been starving for some success. And you remember, after they won their national title under Phil Fulmer in 98, laughingstock, just a veritable revolving door of coaches, and now they're relevant under Josh Heupel, playing very well, clearly. In Tennessee, very good run game, very stout defensive line. Guess what? Ohio State is ranked like 59th in the country in rushing. Very one-dimensional. Oh, and by the way, they've lost two starting offensive linemen to injury as well. Tennessee's D-line is very stout against the run, forcing Ohio State to be one-dimensional. Ohio State, though, very good pass defense. Tennessee, they can run the ball all day, though. So their quarterback, their young quarterback, the freshman, whose name I can never pronounce, but I'm going to give it a shot, Nico Lamalieva. Thank you. Thank you. Where's the applause when I need it? And the Buckeyes are very, very good in the red zone and not surrendering touchdowns. But I just think Tennessee is going to pull the upset here. Not only are they going to cover the 7.5, I think they win this game something like 26-23. Remember, Tennessee can run the ball and stop the run. And Tennessee's been very stout on third down as well. So they're stalling drives on critical downs. Eighth versus the run. Ohio State can run the ball. They can't throw the ball. But remember, they chose not to. They tried to go mano-a-mano against Michigan and beat them at their own game due to Ryan Day's fragile ego. That's what it all boils down to. And I'm wondering, if Ohio State does not get to the final or win a national title, is Ryan Day gone? Because Mike Vrabel, there's a lot of people, they want Mike Vrabel to come home to where he played. Mike Vrabel's actually linked to a bunch of jobs, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be a hot
Chicago
candidate.
He's a hot commodity.
But I think if you're Ryan Day, you do know you are coaching for your job.
Absolutely.
With this playoff push. I think I don't even know if just winning one playoff game. I don't think
that's enough.
I think you have to make
get
it
to the finals.
I think you have to get
to the finals. If not, win it, might be enough.
Yeah.
When you've lost, what is it, 4 in a row against your most hated rival?
Mm-hmm.
Is Tennessee going to try to plant that flag before they pass that law?
Oh my God, I hope they do.
To make it a felony?
I hope they do.
There's some petty lawmaker up there, I don't know if he's in Congress or is it a state lawmaker, going to make it a felony to plant a flag at midfield. Just give me a break, really. There's no pressing issues up in Ohio.
So cowardly and just stupid.
What about those mysterious train derailments that leaked all those chemicals up there in Ohio?
Right.
I guess that's nothing to worry about. We have to worry about a flag.
Yeah.
What a petty, ridiculous waste of time. You should be embarrassed.
We have to worry about the bruised ego of a bunch of 20-year-olds.
That's right. And here's another one that I like. 4 o'clock on Saturday on TNT. Texas, a 10.5-point favorite over Clemson. Now, what's the big thing out of Texas? It's their offense. Their offense, it can be good, but at times it stalls. If Quinn Ewers struggles, we're going to see Arch Manning early in that game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What does Arch Manning add to the equation that Quinn Ewers doesn't? Able to run the ball. Ewers has not been the same since that ankle injury.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers has not been the same. Arch is surprisingly physical and fast.
Right.
And I think we talked about this last week, where I think I threw out the question of, would you think about just starting Arch for the playoffs altogether?
I would. I've heard all the rumors that Quinn Ewers is going to transfer. And somebody even linked Arch Manning to Bill Belichick up at UNC, which is hilarious. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But I got to think about it this way. Clemson, there's no pressure. They're happy to be here. They didn't expect to be here.
Yeah, Clemson's just happy to be here.
Oh, and guess what? Guess what Dabo Swinney's been... Oh, by the way, did you know Dabo Swinney actually got somebody from the portal? I think it's... who was that kid they got? I cannot remember who it was. He actually got his first player from the portal. And it was a wide receiver, Tristan Smith, out of Southeast Missouri.
Times are changing.
Yep.
Look at that.
Yep. Oh, Dabo had only taken two reserve quarterbacks in the portal. Neither started a game at Clemson, so they kind of bled into the woodwork. But this is his first significant one. Meanwhile, have you seen what Brian Kelly's done at LSU? Good Lord.
Man.
He's taken all the second-teamers from Florida, it seems like.
Yeah.
He got this tight end from Oklahoma, Bower Sharp. Jakeem Jackson, a cornerback from Florida. Baron Brown, wide receiver from Kentucky. Defensive end Jamari Butler out of Nebraska. Quarterback Michael Van Buren from Mississippi State. And Garrett Nussmeier's returning at quarterback. And they also got this edge guy, Jack Pyburn from Florida, who's supposed to be a bit of a beast. He had 60 tackles last year, 2 sacks, 1 interception, 6'4", 260. So Brian Kelly in it to win it after I think his seat was starting to heat up a little bit. Still May. But he's doing everything he can to solidify that roster. You got to give him credit for that. So, and it's fun. The more teams that are good in the SEC, the more fun it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes it better.
Even though they'll never go to a 9-game schedule, but what are you going to do? But as for Clemson, though, they're just glad to be here. Remember, here's one thing I like about Clemson. Look at the way they lost at South Carolina, the most devastating way possible. Late touchdown by South Carolina's running back. Didn't affect them.
Yeah.
Going to the ACC game, come from behind victory. A long field goal. That shows maturity right there. And what can Dabo do? He's been in so many of these big games, he can get his players ready. Now, I don't know how much of a physical mismatch this is. I think it is a little bit between Texas and Clemson, with Texas having the advantage, and clearly with a 10.5-point spread there. But think about this. Cade Klubnik, by the way, Cade Klubnik and Quinn Ewers, they played against each other in a state championship game in Texas a couple of years ago. And Cade Klubnik's from Austin. Westlake Austin beat Quinn Ewers' team for the state title. So they're going to meet again. But Klubnik has played a lot better. Much maligned last year. Struggled. He's played well this year. He's pretty mobile. What gave Texas trouble against Georgia is actually Gunnar Stockton when he came in. Mobile quarterbacks. Yeah. Now, am I ready to say that Clemson's going to upset Texas? No. Not quite there. I think they're going to be very competitive, though. I think they might cover the 10.5.
I was going to say, I like them with 10.5.
Yep.
I like them with 10.5.
I think they lose like 31-26, something like that.
I could see something like that.
The home cooking for Texas, and they've got something to prove, certainly. And Sark probably doesn't feel very – there's not a good taste in his mouth after losing. They felt like they should have won the SEC championship against Georgia, but they didn't. And how about Indiana-Notre Dame? Now, here's one thing. A lot of people think it's just an afterthought. Look what happened. Indiana played someone, and they got beaten by Ohio State. Indiana didn't necessarily get taken to the woodshed by Ohio State. They made mistakes. Mistakes in special teams. It was mistakes like that. They were not necessarily dominated physically. Another issue. Curtis Rourke, Indiana's quarterback. This is his sixth year of football in college. Not much he hadn't seen on a football field. Now, think about this. What does Marcus Freeman like to do at Notre Dame? He'll dial up some exotic blitzes. But guess what those exotic blitzes do to someone like a Curtis Rourke, who is mobile and has seen a lot of football? Those blitzes, what do? They create opportunity. Somebody's open if you're blitzing, or there's maybe some running lane or something. So Notre Dame, I'd be careful, certainly. Like I said, the mistakes that Indiana made at Ohio State can be fixed. And the Hoosiers, by the way, plus 15 in the turnover category. Very opportunistic as far as that goes.
Very.
They just don't have the number of elite players that Notre Dame does. I think Notre Dame's just going to outlast them. I think Indiana's going to give them a fight, though. This might be like a 26-21 game. I'm going to write these down. I have to go back and look at them, because if all these picks come true and I get a lot of things exactly, I'm going to be calling it. I'm going to be breaking into everybody's show bragging.
There we go.
I think Notre Dame might be just too much physically.
Yeah, I think it's just a talent thing.
Just a gulf of talent. But good for what Cignetti's done in Indiana, certainly.
Absolutely.
Giving them something to cheer about, because even basketball hasn't been good up there.
Yeah, that's very impressive what he was able to do with Indiana this year.
Now, a game where weather will be a factor, SMU, when they go play Penn State. SMU, all those kids are from Texas. Or California. They have a lot of kids from California, several from Florida, a couple from Georgia as well. And I think their coach came out and said, well, you know, it was 40 degrees this week. You know, it got in the upper 30s, and we had to deal with that. Now, it's going to be like 17 degrees up there.
Yeah, it's a little different, coach.
Or maybe the low 20s for that kickoff. I think Penn State may have a little bit too. I know a lot of people are quick to say that, well, you know, look at James Franklin and Penn State. They never can win the big game. I think they're going to prevail in this one, though. I think that's going to be too big of a. That place is going to be electric. It's going to be a wideout. Mm-hmm. That is an intimidating environment. And God bless SMU, a group of five. They go to the ACC. What do? They go all the way to the conference championship
almost
game and almost win it.
Yep.
So clearly they've got some good players, but I think it's just going to be too much. It's going to kind of be like an Indiana Notre Dame sort of thing. Yeah, the temperature is going to be mid 20s. Penn State. 8.5-point favorite on that one. And another thing, you got to think about this. Kevin Jennings, SMU's quarterback. I remember Nick Saban talking about this on College Game Day about a couple of months ago. Loves his athleticism and his ability to play quarterback. But remember, he turned the ball over 5 times against Duke, and he's not real good. He plays pretty loose with the football.
Mm.
And on the road, in a high-stakes game like this,
you got it, yeah.
Yeah, that could sink you. I think Penn State wins this one something like 34-17, so. There you go. All right, we're going to come back. More on the Michael Penix. We're going to hear from Raheem Morris. Also, David Archer with some interesting takes on what exactly transpired and what can we expect schematically when Michael Penix gets under center for his first career start on Sunday against the Giants. And by the way, you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Tribble tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship station of the Falcons. 1 o'clock kick from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. In a game that was going to seem lackluster, now has a lot of juice because that young left-handed rookie, Michael Penix, will make his first start. I think he's thrown, 5 passes this year, something like that in mop-up time. But now it gets real. And I know you're thinking, well, think about this. The Giants are terrible. This should be really easy, but no, don't start thinking that way. Look at somebody like Cleveland. As much as Cleveland has struggled this year, well, Dom, they beat your Steelers, didn't they? And they beat the Ravens also.
Yep.
NFL is a week-by-week proposition. Oh, and by the way, The Giants do have Brian Burns. They have Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. They can get to the quarterback. And you don't think they're coming for the rookie on Sunday? You better believe that they are. And there's a different wrinkle, too. You've got a left-handed quarterback, meaning that Jake Matthews isn't protecting your blind side. Now it's going to be Caleb McGarry. Not saying he can't do it, but that's going to be something different that he's going to have to be preoccupied with. That's a different thing. I don't know what necessarily all the nuances entail as far as the offensive lineman, because what the Falcons, I believe, have, they kind of have a smaller offensive line predicated on athleticism and movement. They have to move like a like a ballet, like synchronized swimming. They all have to move together a certain way. Well, now you have to do it a different way with a left-handed quarterback. But what Michael Penix does, what he offers, is something that Kirk Cousins no longer has. And he never really had a lot of it, but after the injury, he just hasn't had it. That's mobility. What have we seen time and time again this year? The pocket isn't clean. Well, you're going to get a batted ball or an interception. Kirk Cousins wasn't seeing the field. He wasn't processing like he once was. He kind of had the yips in a way. And I remember two really, really horrible instances of athletes having the yips. It involves Major League Baseball. And, Dom, this is before your time. You're just a young buck. I doubt you remember Steve Sachs, the second baseman of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Got me beat.
Got you beat.
Yep.
What his problem was, he could not throw the ball to first base. He'd throw it in the stands. He just couldn't.
Hmm. Okay.
And, of course, he spent many years playing second base, but all of a sudden, the onset of the yips, he couldn't do it. Mackie Sasser was a catcher for the New York Mets. He could not throw the ball back to the pitcher. He tried to throw it, but he couldn't release the ball. And he would sit there and just constantly try. He couldn't do it. Kirk Cousins had the yips kind of in a different way, maybe psychological yips. He couldn't process information. He wasn't seeing open receivers. Maybe keying too much on Drake London. Just a lot of things went wrong with Kirk Cousins. And I think briefly he was healthy, but the human body's a weird thing. Achilles surgery is a very serious thing. He came back, struggled out the gate. Then we had Kirk Tober. And he was thriving. A couple of NFC Offensive Player of the Week honors. Threw for over 500 yards. That game against Tampa Bay, I believe, right?
Yep.
And then the bottom fell out. You lose to the Saints. Horrible outing against Denver. And I was ready. I was actually, and I agreed with Mike Bell on this. It was funny that he said that today. I just happened to be listening because I remember when I was watching the Falcons play the Chargers at halftime. You know, there is nothing going on with this offense. No pulse whatsoever. I would make a change now. I'd tell Kirk, look, you're still our guy. Let's just see if the youngster can give us a little spark going forward. Didn't happen. Maybe this is too little too late, but it was inevitable. And now you have a new starting quarterback. Now, of course, the scouting report on Michael Penix coming out of college. Now, one thing is, now, some guy brought it up, and I've heard a lot of people say this. Well, what if you bring him in now and he struggles? It's going to destroy his confidence. Give me a break. That's ridiculous. If he's that fragile, and I don't think he is, he shouldn't be in the NFL. If he's that fragile, I doubt he's an NFL football player. This is a kid that's come back from two catastrophic knee surgeries. Tore his ACL twice. Now, of course, he's passed all the medicals in order to get drafted. And, of course, young kids like that, they heal very, very quickly. But I don't think that's going to be an issue. And a lot of people are also thinking now that Michael Penix is under center, wow, he's left-handed. Maybe he's going to be Michael Vick 2.0. No, he's not. He's not going to be Lamar Jackson either. He is mobile, but that's not his defining trait. His defining trait is his ability to process information, football IQ. He's played a lot of football at the age of 24, and he has an elite arm. Elite arm talent is what he has. There were some accuracy issues, but maybe they can clean that up. Now, the big thing that I'm concerned about, and a lot of people think he's going to go out and set the world on fire, there's going to be some growing pains. Now, he might come in and do wonderfully. Maybe that's possible. Seen it before. But don't necessarily count on it. As I said when I opened the show, I don't think he's going to throw the ball that much. If he has to throw for over 300 yards, that means Tim Boyle is lighting you up. And I don't think that's going to happen. Something has gone wrong. I expect him to throw maybe 25 passes, maybe throw a touchdown, interception, maybe run for another one. Who knows? But he is mobile. He's pretty mobile. He's pretty athletic. But he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Michael Vick. He's not one of those guys. That's not what he does. But he's mobile enough to extend plays and to get out of trouble. And one thing he can also do, what is that little outside little run the Falcons like to do? Well, we can do a bootleg, take it the other way. So that gives the defense something to account for. This is an unscouted look. There's not much tape on him whatsoever except outside of college. He's played a little bit in mop-up time. He did have that one good pass. He dropped that dime in Denver, that one pass he threw. I was thinking that was pretty good. Well, there's Squid coming in here all hammered from the office party. I turn his mic on. Let's talk. You got a little haircut, too?
Not hammered. I'm good to go.
You're good to go?
Yeah. No, I've just been down there talking.
No careers or marriages ended tonight at the Christmas party?
Not that I know of.
Not that you
I
know
mean,
of.
I mean, there's still a party going, like the after party's going, so I'm not going to say that nothing is over till it's over. But
where was the party itself? Was it the Politan?
No, it was that food court, which the place called JoJo's, which is down there almost right before the hotel entrance.
Yeah, oh, okay, it's
yeah,
like a little
speakeasy.
Talking
about Michael Penix? What happened?
We were talking about Michael Penix.
What do you think? Are you happy?
Sure. Why not? But I think a lot of people automatically think he's going to be Mike Vick. Oh, he's left-handed. Oh, we got a brother quarterback. He's going to be Lamar Jackson. He's going to be Michael Vick. No. He is mobile, though.
Well,
we know that.
You go back to his Indiana days, pre-2 ACL tears.
Yeah.
He could move. Anything's mobile compared to Kirk.
Oh, I know.
But
I called Kirk. He moves like a stormtrooper with hemorrhoids is what I was going to say. That's what I would see.
I would say this. The bootleg is back.
The bootleg is back. It was never here this year. That's for
no,
sure.
but it's been in the past. I think what you're going to get, though, is more he's got good pocket presence. I was going back watching some of his stuff from college, his pocket presence, moving in the pocket. But also, you know, one thing, Rob, I mentioned this morning, and I didn't mean to take over your show.
That's all
but right. What have you've seen a lot of them bringing 5 and 6 guys, but Bijan has been taken out of the passing game because he's having to block.
He's done really well at blocking, by the way.
He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Bijan is turning into one of the three best backs in all-purpose, all-around backs
absolutely.
In the league, and people don't necessarily recognize it. But what I'd say, though, is that if you want to bring more than we can handle and play man, you now have a guy that's not going to Lamar Jackson you, not nope. Josh Allen, nope. but he can step up into Baker Mayfield, the CJ Stroud, that you can get the 15, 20-yard scramble.
Absolutely.
Get down, you move the chains, and now you're less apt to do that, right?
Let me ask you, what did Mike say? How's this going to – I know Caleb McGarry now has the blind side. How is this going to affect the offensive line now? Is it going to be that drastically different for them aside from that sort of thing?
He didn't seem to think that. And you go back to when Vic was here and Bob Whitfield was left tackle. Bob didn't move to right tackle. Now, Vic was different, but he didn't seem to think it was going to be that big of a deal, like that big of a game changer. It changes how maybe Caleb will set, because I've seen a couple of times where he's set way deep in the pocket. But he kind of think it might be a benefit to where if he's pushing him around, that almost makes you less opt to do that. But you notice one thing is that the blind side might be what it is, but where does the best player line up every week? Where did T.J. Watt line up week one against the Falcons? Over Caleb McGarry.
Caleb McGarry, yep.
So he's already getting the creme de la creme, right? He's getting the best guys every week, so it's not gonna be less to me what we've seen, what we've talked about.
You know what I was predicting on Sunday? I said if Michael Penix has to throw for over 300 yards, you're in trouble.
Well, this is the 31st rush defense in the league. I mean, they're giving up 143 yards a game.
But they got some guys. They've got Dexter Lawrence. They got a couple of guys. Brian Burns is on
that
team.
Kayvon Thibodeau, who's not done a lot, but Brian Burns run against them.
Run against
shove it down their throat.
That's right. I'm predicting, I think he's going to go like 17 for 24, touchdown, interception, might run for another one.
Yeah, you just don't want to be a situation where you run 23 out of 21 first down situations. And you're doing 96% of your pass, your passing plays right of regular straight drop back.
I don't know what you're thinking being out there in Vegas. When I was watching that game on Monday, you know, you get the good kick return to open the second half. And then the first pass, Kirk Cousins throw an interception. I go, I think that's it.
So
I wonder if that was destroyed. I could be wrong, but that's when I really was convinced that I think we're gonna.
The playbook was so limited.
I know
and
it was.
You got and
just
you,
so he just so because he was been a liability.
Yeah, and the more and more you saw it, the more and more you realize there's something not right. I don't think it's physical. I think there's something mental, and I hate it because I think Kirk is one of the most phenomenal people you'll be around.
Oh, yeah.
in the sport. It was time.
We know what Art said. He says he is such – he over studies, maybe, to the point where he's almost OCD in his preparation. He overwhelms and short-circuits himself to where it's almost the paralysis of the analysis. And then it got to where he couldn't trust his eyes anymore. He couldn't see guys that were open. And
yeah.
Combine that with a limited mobility when the pocket collapses, it's disaster. Now, it's totally mental with him.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where I think he needs to sit for a while. I don't know if he'll ever get back on the field here. Personally, I think it's done.
I think it's done.
But it doesn't mean that he can't go somewhere else and play, and you hope that for him because he's one of
Kyle Shanahan. I don't think they want to pay Brock Purdy, and Shanahan loved him in Washington. He loves Kirk Cousins.
He did. Well, in Mike's reason was
home. Another year removed from the Achilles, maybe, in a change of scenery, yeah. Just a fresh perspective. He's got football left.
The only thing I would say is that Kyle likes a guy that can do the bootlegs and do a little bit of that, and that might be a deterrent.
Could be.
But I hope the best for him. It's a great human being, and I hope the best for Michael Penix. You know, you can want both, and right. It's okay.
You think he's going to pull a Devondre Campbell and just leave?
No, I don't think that's who he is. I'm a big Devondre Campbell fan. I don't know what the hell happened with that.
I liked him when he was here.
He's one of the best dudes to be around, Devondre was. Honest, open.
But you never know what people are going through, though. It could be something off the field that just made him overwhelmed. You just never know. Athletes are not allowed any humanity from us whatsoever.
No, they're not.
Because they make a lot of money, it's like that doesn't matter.
The worst thing for me about the whole thing was how the teammates, how the way they spoke about that whole situation after me made me think maybe there was more to that.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. None of us do. But when your teammates feel that way and say those things, you're done there.
You're done. You'd want to get John Lynch pissed off. Red 47, that's what he turns into when he's angry.
I heard that. It's amazing. That's amazing.
What time did you get back from Vegas the other night?
I was deboarding at 5:15. I rolled in the studio at 5:52.
Did you do the show?
Hell yeah, I did the show. Night.
Good man.
Dude.
I know Mike slept here. I didn't do Falcons flyover till 1:30.
My brother-in-law texted me and said, man, I can't believe you went on the air today. I said, I don't like people sitting in my seat. Abe Gordon sat in it one day. I don't want 2 days in a row.
You're like that quarterback. You're not taking me out of the game, even for victory formation. Coming out.
Nope. I will take the knee and take the stat, the rushing yards negative. I'll take that.
Well, good seeing you, my brother.
Good seeing you. Rob Tribble is an amazing human being, and we're lucky to have him in our city.
Oh, go on. You want to do the next
segment?
No,
I'm good. Dom, you can dump that.
Dump that? Oh, dear. All right, that was Squid, everybody, enjoying the office party. He sounded pretty lucid, and I've sounded worse on the air. Especially after a Falcons loss. Yeah,
we've had some rough nights.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to do some tidings. That's an old archaic word for news, by the way. Got some little headlines. The Braves might actually have their eye on a shortstop. Alex Anthopoulos getting a lot of criticism, but they may have their eye on a pretty good shortstop. We'll get into that and more next. It's Tribble Tonight, Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game Tonight.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Tribble Tonight, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Well, hot stove for baseball has been pretty lukewarm for the Braves. You get De La Cruz, maybe a serviceable outfielder, but this is kind of interesting. Of course, when Orlando Arcia replaced Dansby Swanson, worked very well for one season. Then, of course, last year, pretty much a disaster. The last person you wanted to see come up with runners in scoring position, especially with two outs, was Orlando Arcia. Well, the Braves are a potential landing spot for Ha-Seong Kim. Remember, he got MVP votes just 2 years ago, the Padres. But the bad thing is, just had shoulder surgery, may not be ready for opening day, just like Ronald Acuna and Spencer Strider. Gold Glover, though, had an off year last year, but in 2023, had 17 homers, 60 RBIs, 38 stolen bases, can also play second. And right now, Kim is at the point where he may be willing to take a one-year prove-it deal to improve his value. And that's somebody that's right up Alex Anthopoulos' alley, I mean. We shall see. Other than that, pretty quiet on the front. And a lot of Braves fans are getting a little restless with Alex Anthopoulos. Guess what? The Braves are never going to be able to afford one of those gigantic contracts. And how many times do they actually work out? After a while, they become an albatross. So think about Juan Soto all you want, but no. I just hope Ronald Acuna doesn't become just a shell of himself because of two ACL surgeries. He may not be a five-tool player anymore, maybe a four-tool player. I think the power will still be there. There'll be some. I think the speed will take a step back. I think he will be lacking a step or two. Defensive prowess will still be there and the arm. He'll still be regarded as one of the better players in Major League Baseball, but pretty sad state of affairs, though, as far as that goes. How about this? When you think about the NFL, there are four teams who have not hit the 30-point mark season in professional football. Dom, who do you think those teams are? Four teams have yet to score 30 points in a single game the entire season. Sunday's opponent, the Giants, is one of them.
Giants, I think I know the Chiefs haven't.
Ah, that's the one right there that's shocking, right? I'll let you off the hook. It's the Giants, Raiders, Patriots, and Chiefs.
Chiefs, okay.
Who've lost one game this season. Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, because what, all the other teams are like,
yeah, they're terrible,
three
the Chiefs
four,
are.
Yeah, something like that.
I just don't. This has to be Buffalo's year, you would think.
It feels
that way. The
Ravens
may have something. I think the Steelers may not quite. What do you think is going to hold the Steelers back?
Offensive consistency. Yeah. I think you've seen it these past 2 weeks, even though we were able to get a win over the Browns, without George Pickens, there's really no offensive threat on the outside. Like, you've got a good run game with Najee and Jaylen Warren, but without George Pickens, there's just no legitimate number two on that team. So if George isn't eating, the offense is stagnant.
Probably going to come down to the Ravens and the Bills. The NFC is going to be fascinating. All those teams in the North. I think the Lions, I think they may run out of gas due to the catastrophe. They lose David Montgomery, by the way.
I feel so bad for them.
I do, too. All those injuries, you lose Aiden Hutchinson, too, your best edge rusher.
They just keep finding ways to win. They've been able to weather the storm. I do think eventually it's going to catch up to them, and I don't think it'll be sustainable throughout the playoffs, but...
You know, I could maybe – who do you think could emerge NFC Championship game out of that group, though? Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit. Green Bay may have something to say.
If they continue to play and the way – I like Green Bay, but the team – if it's not Detroit, it's Philly for me.
But all the infighting, though, going on up there,
I think
but they're
that,
still – they're thriving in spite of – remember, they collapsed last year.
That's the thing is that – we've been hearing about this stuff for weeks now, and they are just like on a 9-game win streak.
Keep winning.
So
keep winning.
Clearly, I think
that defense is beastly, though.
Yeah, and I was gonna say maybe they need the noise. Maybe that's just kind of like sometimes people need that. They need that background noise to kind of help galvanize the team, give them something to go through, and you know it makes them better. But if it's not Detroit, it's Philly for me.
I think Tampa Bay might be a handful for anybody. You know how
feisty
they are.
Tampa Bay's going to out. Their offense is
lights out.
It's
cooking, man. Yep.
And it's funny because one of the
– defense is still very good.
The defense is still very good. And even despite losing Chris Godwin and then they were without Mike Evans for a while.
And Mike Evans is back and thriving. They can run the ball now, too.
I was going to say, they were able to find a run game because last year that was kind of the giddy-up for this team was that – they could pass the ball, obviously. We knew they could move the ball well, but they couldn't close games out sometimes, or they would struggle to run the ball, which made it tough. So Tampa Bay is going to be a really tough out in the playoffs.
Oh, I agree with you. Michael Vick going to become the head coach at Norfolk State. Fascinating. This is every bit as fascinating as Bill Belichick to North Carolina. Now, Michael Vick, I don't know what kind of coach he will be, but he has so many contacts, I think he'll be able to put together a really good staff. Eddie George is coaching his butt off at Tennessee State. You see the job he's doing there. And they're grumbling about him maybe moving up like Deion did, but I think he's very happy where he is. He wants to build something there. I love that. And Vic, the Norfolk State, I think fundamentally what Mike Vick is really going to be able to do, you're not going to get a whole lot of NFL players coming out of Norfolk State. What Michael Vick can impart on those kids is wisdom. You know why he has so much wisdom? Everything Michael Vick went through, all self-inflicted. He'd be the first to admit it. He'd also was always the first to admit later on, I was the last guy to arrive at the facility, first guy to leave. I just got by on sheer raw athleticism. I didn't work hard enough. Of course, he did his time at Leavenworth. All those mistakes he made, that's where wisdom comes from. That's why I was a good dad. I didn't screw up to his level, but I screwed up. I made a lot of mistakes growing up. I told my daughter about him.
Yeah.
I said, I did this, don't do that. I did this, don't do that. And it worked. I think that's what he can really do. He can really actually build a bunch of really polished young men coming out of Norfolk State. Maybe they can win some games along the way. I think that's the essence of his value right there. That's what fascinates me, because I think he'll be able to impart a lot of wisdom.
Especially in that area, I'm sure that'll have an impact.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's great for the job. I think
it's I
like seeing, especially, quarterbacks and stuff like that, guys going back there, and especially if they go back home and get an opportunity for stuff like that. I think it's a ton of fun. Like, shout out to Teddy Bridgewater. He's a high school
I was about to say,
now.
Yes, he wants to get back in the NFL.
I was going
to
say.
He's talking about this year, though. Maybe Seattle could use
him. Listen, I wouldn't be mad at it. He might. He's got a future as a coach. Did you see how well that high school was doing?
Well, good Lord. He coached Miami Northwestern. That's his alma mater, the state title. Get this, Dom. Listen to this. His team outscored playoff opponents 262-12.
Like,
and they won the state championship game 41-0. That's not a joke in Florida.
Yeah, no, not like in Florida, like not an easy play. Like, that's impressive.
But remember, he's only 32 years old. You remember that horrible injury when he was with the Vikings?
Yeah, he almost lost his leg.
Oh, good Lord. Dislocated kneecap, ACL, all sorts of ligament damage. Yeah.
It was literally
the most grisly looking thing.
I remember they said it. They said, had it not been for how fast the Vikings medical staff worked, he could have had to have his leg
amputated. Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Have you seen Alex Smith's leg?
Yeah.
He doesn't wear shorts anymore.
Yeah. It's
basically just chunks of flesh torn off because that horrible injury he had, he almost lost his leg as well. Teddy Bridgewater says he wants to play again. Why not?
More power to him. Hey, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. If Tim Boyle
listen,
can play in the NFL, why
Tim
not?
If Tim Boyle's still getting jobs, Nathan Peterman can still be on someone's practice squad, Teddy two gloves, go for it.
Right. Hawks playing at San Antonio tomorrow night. Pretty fun team to watch, but the NBA as a whole, not so fun. Ratings are down 48% since 2012. And the NBA's not doing in themselves any favors. A lot of fans are under the impression, I am too in a way, they don't care anymore. Trae Young famously said, the regular season's boring. Joel Embiid saying, I ain't playing back-to-backs.
Yep.
Too many threes. Maybe move the three-point line back. I want to see Anthony Edwards go to the rack.
Yeah.
I want to see that athleticism.
I like seeing Ja Morant dunk on people.
I like to see big men with their back to the basket. I want to see Kevin McHale 2.0, Hakeem Olajuwon 2.0. I want to see some of that old-school stuff, a little bit more physicality, but now it's just chucking up a three-pointer, long rebound, chucking up another one, missing it, go the other way, chucking up a three-pointer. It's not even fun to watch.
There's no real structure. There's no real, there's no real offensive scheme anymore. Nope.
Even Charles Barkley said everybody's running the same
thing. Yeah, it's drive and pitch.
Yep.
Drive and try and get to the hole, and if you ain't got a shot, pitch it out to somebody who's at the three-point line and chuck up a shot.
I don't care about 28-feet shots anymore. It's not interesting to me. Steph Curry ruined the NBA.
Yeah, I was going to say, listen, it's cool when Steph does it, but and that's the issue is that there are certain people, it's okay for them to do that. I'm fine with going to a game and watching Steph chuck up 16 threes tonight. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I don't want to see someone who's the ninth man on the roster, who's only getting 10 minutes a game, come out there and shoot 12 threes tonight. I don't want
to
see that.
And we need a change in the guard. LeBron, we have all. I think his issues might have something to do with Diddy. I don't know. You've heard that out in the water. I have no idea. There is a link there. He's gone for whatever reason. But I'm tired of him. But it seems like Wemby and Jokic, they don't necessarily want to be the new faces of the NBA.
Yeah,
Anthony Edwards seemingly does, and he's got a great personality. He was hilarious at the Olympics. Loving the ping pong team. He's like their biggest fan.
I was going to say, I think the NBA, I think Anthony Edwards is just a little too raw and braggadocious for them to maybe want to really embrace to make him the face of the league. I think they're guys.
But it seems so harmless, though. It's just fun.
Yeah. The NBA, every league has their image stuff and all that.
Yeah.
I think they should. I think they absolutely should embrace him. I love Anthony Edwards. I think he's great for the game. But the NBA has a ton of issues right now.
They have
the issue with the fact that the product itself, the game itself, is just not as fun to watch. You have the fact that, you know, this era of superstars is starting to fade out, like, or at least this this era. You know, Steph, KD, LeBron, those are kind of the guys that really held down and were the face of the league for the past decade or so.
You know, the commissioner said, yeah, I know the ratings are down, but it doesn't mean the interest in the product. We're big on Instagram. We're big on TikTok. You know who else is big on TikTok? Middle-aged divorced women dancing in the kitchen talking about how they don't need a man.
Exactly. Now, the biggest issue that the NBA has, and one that they will not acknowledge because they're greedy, the big reason why ratings are down is because it's impossible to watch NBA
games. Multi-platforms.
Now.
You can't find them. Used to be cutting the cord would save you money. Now it's more expensive.
Yeah, I remember, like, back in the day, if I wanted to, like, even if I was out of market, like, I can just get NBA League Pass. Now, right. Like, even if I want to watch, like, if I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, like, there are certain games where even if I have League Pass, I can't watch it. I'm going to have to go and get some other streaming service and all this other stuff.
Another reason is when they decide to get a little political, and that's okay, you can have your opinions. But when you're a hypocrite, like, really cozying up to China.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, being all preachy about certain things, and me, I am a radical moderate nihilist. I'm neither left nor right, but I don't need to be preached to by a bunch of athletes. I don't need that crap. They don't have the moral authority to do it.
Yeah.
Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. This is America, but if you do that, you alienate half the country.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't have an issue with it, but I do think that a lot of the time it comes across and feels forced. It doesn't feel
genuine.
And that's a big
issue.
Not genuine at all.
So the NBA has a lot of problems. Maybe they'll fix it, maybe they won't, but seems like all the other professional leagues are doing pretty well.
I mean, hey, as long as the owners and the commissioners make money, that's all that they care
about.
They
don't really care.
They don't really care about how the actual fans.
Yep. We're learning more and more every day that all the institutions that lord over us or provide us our entertainment and everything else, they don't care about us as long as they make theirs. And if they start failing, they'll get bailed out and we'll still be eating ramen noodles. All right, we're going to come back. Let's get back into the Falcons-Michael Penix conversation. What about the financial implications? A lot of people are hand-wringing over that. What are you worried about? It ain't your damn money. It's Arthur's money. Don't worry about it. They'll figure it out. It's Triple Tonight, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.